This lesson is from the course Fullness of Joy, A Biblical Theology of God with Us by Dr. Daniel Ragusa.
Long ago, the Lord God had spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This was the culmination of all the hopes and dreams, not only of the people of Israel, but of the world. God Himself returning, God Himself coming to be with His people. And Dr. Cornelis Venema reminds us that the entire history of creation and redemption is one in which God Himself comes to dwell with His people. It is not one in which man makes his way up to God. It's not one in which we attempt to climb up to the heavens to be with God or to make ourselves like God, but it is God Himself coming to be with His people. And it's that theme of God coming to be with us, God dwelling among us, Emmanuel, that is going to be the focus of our study in these lectures ahead of us, as we trace this wonderful and joyful theme of God Himself coming to be with us as our God. And we ask the question then, with such a marvelous reality before us and such a great promise given to us from God Himself, we have to ask the question, of course, how can it be that God can be with us? How can it be that God can come to us? And the answer to that is that God must Himself freely and voluntarily condescend to us. He must come and meet with us. And praise God that He has been pleased to do so by way of His covenant. It is by His covenant that God is with us. It is by His covenant that the Emmanuel principle and promise finds its fulfillment and enjoyment in His people. And so what is God's covenant? The covenant is God's relationship that He freely and historically establishes with His people. And the essence of that covenant is one of fellowship, a fellowship of life, or simply, as we read throughout the scriptures, friendship. In Psalm 25, verse 14, we hear there that the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant. Now, if you're a good student of Hebrew poetry, you'd be aware that they love to use, especially throughout the Psalms, various parallels in which two lines will often say the same thing or provide insight into both lines. And so when Psalm 25, verse 14 tells us that the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant, we find friendship and covenant in parallel with one another. That friendship throughout the scriptures is often spoken of in these terms when God says that I will be your God and you will be my people. That is the friendship of the Lord. It's a heart of His covenant that He makes with His people. So that when God is with us, He is with us as our friend. He's with us as our God and we His people. A mutual giving of one another in joyful fellowship forevermore. That is at the heart of God's covenant, and that is at the heart of the storyline of Scripture from its very beginning and to its end and consummation in new heavens and a new earth in which God dwells with His people. It is this covenant idea that drives the drama of redemptive history to that culminating point and revealing to us the heart of our God as one who pursues His people out of great love for them to bring them into His house. The prophet Isaiah foresees this wonderful day when God will take those who were once far off and He will bring them to His holy mountain and supernaturally bring them up that mountain into His house, and more than that, to bring them before His altar to be brought in the closest fellowship with Him. God Himself with us, Emmanuel. And as we, in this study, trace this theme of God with us, We'll see how it develops over time and how God progressively brings his people nearer and nearer until the fullness of time when Emmanuel himself, Jesus Christ, comes and tabernacles among us. The culminating point of history, the apex of history, the wonderful news transitioning from promise to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. All of it throughout the Old Testament building its momentum until it gets to that great and wonderful point in history, the fullness of time, as the Apostle Paul reminds us. The question then, as we before we dive into this story of Scripture and draw out its insights and its marvels like gems and jewels for our faith, the question before us is then, how exactly do we come to know this? And this is a question that one of the beloved confessions and documents of the Reformation asks, the Heidelberg Catechism. In question 19 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we're asked, how do you come to know this, that Jesus Christ is indeed Emmanuel, that Jesus Christ indeed is truly man and righteous, but also truly God and able to deliver us from the wrath of God and bring us into eternal life and make us righteous before God? How do you come to know this? And the Catechism, wisely reflecting the truths of Scripture, point us not to the stars above and point us not to our own hearts, but it points us to God himself speaking to us and delivering to us good news. The Catechism says that the Holy Gospel tells me, and that God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets and foreshadowed it by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. And finally, he fulfilled it through his own beloved Son. The few things I want us to note about this, as again reflects to us the wonderful truths of Scripture. And the first thing is that the good news, at the heart of which is God being with us as our covenant God, is that it is God himself who reveals the good news. The Catechism wisely reflects this by attributing to God all of the action. It is God who began to reveal the gospel. It is God who proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets. It is God who foreshadowed it by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. And it is God himself who finally fulfilled it through his own beloved Son. Behind this is the doctrine of inspiration, that God himself has spoken and that word has been inscripturated for us in the Bible. The Apostle Paul teaches us this when he says that all Scripture is breathed out, inspired by God. It comes to us through various mediums as God moves the prophets and the patriarchs, as God moves his people and the authors of Scripture to write. But at bottom, the word written for us is God's own word to us. And reveals to us the heart of our God in caring for his people and giving us this word that it might be preserved for us, and that word spoken long ago might come to his church even today. So that what stands before us in this class is not something irrelevant or a dead word on a page, but as we explore the very word of God to us, as he himself tells us that he will be with us and he will dwell among us. And that is good news, because it means then that this word is fully trustworthy, that this word is fully reliable. And as it speaks to us, not of things that are trite or things that are fading, but of things that are of eternal weight, we need to know that this is indeed the very word of God. It carries with it his authority. It carries with it his veracity, his truthfulness. And therefore, we can trust this word more than any word that we've ever heard elsewhere. It is this word, above all, that we can lean upon, not only for our lives at the present time, but also for all eternity, as God has placed that in our hearts. And as God has placed eternity in our hearts, we by faith entrust it all to him and entrust it all to the Savior that he has promised, the one that he had anticipated through his word in the Old Testament and then brought to its fulfillment in his Son. We can trust that word and place our faith in that word so that our faith is not only a kind of knowledge of that, of knowing it, it's not only assenting to it, of saying, yes, that word was true, but then saying this word is true for me, that in Jesus, my sins are forgiven. And in Jesus, I have the hope of eternal life. All of that rests on the fact that it is God himself who reveals the good news to us. The second thing the Catechism draws out for us is that this good news is concerning his Son, even as he brings it to its fulfillment through his own beloved Son. You know, behind the idea that, and the truth, that the scriptures are about Jesus, that the Old Testament is pointing to us to Jesus as a promise to be fulfilled, and the New Testament expounding to us the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus, so that the whole of it is about Jesus. What stands behind that is God's love of his Son. Behind God pointing to us on every page of Scripture to his Son is his love for his Son, to make his Son known, to make his Son the one who is the object of our worship and adoration. This is the Father's prerogative and the Father's heart in pointing to us to his Son. Even in the same way, the Spirit who inspired the Scriptures himself points us to the glory of his Son, points us to Jesus, so that a true biblical theology is founded in God himself, in our triune God, our Father who loves his Son and wants to make him known, and the Spirit who is there to glorify the Son of God. And so at the bottom of our biblical theology, of recognizing that the whole of Scripture is about Jesus, is our triune God and the triune life of our God. And we'll say more about that when we come to the New Testament and we see how the very joy of God with us is the very joy that God himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit enjoy in perfect communion from all eternity as Jesus brings us into that fellowship with the Trinity. But standing behind our biblical theology and the reason why we don't simply moralize the Old Testament and we simply just see it as examples is because God loves his Son so much, and God is pointing us to his Son, and he has been doing that since the very beginning. And therefore, when we come to the Scriptures, let us recognize the love of the God the Father for his Son and how he is the one showing his Son throughout all of the Scriptures. Even as Jesus himself on the road to Emmaus following his resurrection spoke to those two disciples and showed them from Moses and the prophets all the things concerning himself. In the same way, the Apostle Paul will tell us in the opening of Romans that he was set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. Jesus is at the heart of this study that we are looking at. As we think about the patriarchs and the altars that are built, as we think about the tabernacle under Moses or the temple under Solomon or the promises of given to David of a house, of a throne, of a kingdom that will have no end, all of those finding their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom God loves and the one whom God causes us to love and to put our trust in as well. A third thing that we learn from the Catechism reflecting the truths of Scripture is that God reveals the good news himself, God reveals the good news concerning his Son, and God reveals the good news historically. That when God speaks to us in his Word, a special revelation to us, it is not disconnected from the happenings of the world around us. It is not as if Scripture stands outside of nature and Scripture stands outside of history, but rather in the midst of history, God speaks. And what he speaks is not an irrelevant word, but rather a word that is most important for history, most defining of history as well. And while we hear often of various events taking place all around us, whether in our own country or throughout the world, and while we can often be told that these are the most important things, these are the most defining moments in human history, that now is a moment in which everything is about to change, we need to take that into perspective and to recognize that those events, while significant and while important, are not the most important or the most defining. The most defining thing in history is this gospel that God Himself began to reveal in paradise and brought to fulfillment through His own beloved Son. The gospel is what is most important. The gospel is what will define the course of history as it has already and will continue until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. What we are exploring here in this class is of most importance and of most significance for our lives of understanding ourselves and understanding the world around us. It is this gospel that will be proclaimed to the nations. It is this gospel that will draw all God's elect from all the nations of the world and bring them into His church. When Jesus is speaking to His disciples as raised from the dead, He tells them that the scriptures foretold not only His death and His resurrection, but that the scriptures foretold also that His gospel would go forth to the nations, that it would be proclaimed. And therefore, as certain as His death and resurrection were in the course of history, is as certain as the gospel proclamation will be. And therefore, it is that gospel that is most defining of our history. And therefore, in the midst of a world that seems to be engulfed in chaos and teetering and tottering all over, shaking about, let us find rest and stability in the gospel, the good news that comes to us from God. And the fourth thing about this gospel that the Catechism teaches us is that God Himself reveals the good news progressively. God reveals the good news not all at once as one lump sum, but progressively, as we're going to see throughout our study. That as a seed is planted, right, that seed contains within itself all that will come from it. But over the course of time, right, that seed begins to sprout roots, and a stem shoots up until this seed comes to full blossom in a powerful, mighty, majestic oak tree. And so too the scriptures. As we're going to see, as God gives His promise in paradise that a serpent crusher will come, who will crush the head of the serpent, and that God then reveals more of that truth of who that serpent crusher will be. That He will be an offspring of Abraham, who will bring a blessing to the nations. He will bring God's presence to the nations, that the nations will be brought up His mountain into His house before His altar. And that this offspring of Abraham later is revealed to be a great high priest who will atone for the sins of His people, to remove that which would otherwise keep them from the presence of God and would otherwise require them to be consumed by God, who is a consuming fire. A great high priest who will atone for their sins and remove them as far as the east is from the west. And that this serpent-crushing son of Abraham, high priest, will also be a son of David, a royal son whose kingdom will have no end and who will rule a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy. And while God's people failed to realize that in the Old Testament, the prophets came speaking of a new covenant, one who in Himself will fulfill all of these promises, so that the serpent crusher, the son of Abraham, the high priest, the royal son of David, all meet in the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And so this is going to be the focus of our study, as we will trace this theme and follow its development throughout the scriptures, and all the while having our hearts burn as those disciples did on the road to Emmaus as they heard of the good news about Jesus, His life, His death, and His victorious resurrection from the grave. And at the heart of this study is that promise and that word spoken at the end of Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. And as we'll see, the New Testament, especially Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, will speak of that being fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That is the realization. That is the culmination of God with us. Fullness of joy in the presence of God forever and ever. That's where the study is headed.
Thank you for listening to this lesson from Reformed Academy. We trust it has been a blessing to you, and we encourage you to use this course in your church or otherwise share it with others who may benefit from this teaching. At Reformed Forum, we are committed to providing redemptive, historical, biblical, and theological education freely to people around the world. All of our courses are available online at reformedforum.org, many with Spanish and Chinese subtitles, all entirely for free. If you would like to support our mission and help us continue offering these valuable resources, please visit reformedforum.org/donate. With your partnership, more people can access sound, reformed teaching, and together, by God's grace, we can equip the next generation of church leaders for faithful service.